Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We welcome in political strategist Carl Calabrese here to talk about a number of things, but starting with what's going on in Erie County. Carl, we've talked about it before. Lynn Dixon as the pick to challenge Mark Poloncarz in the November election. You've heard some of what she's had to say this morning as she officially kicks off her campaign. Well, what do you think of her as the candidate?
Well, as I said in the last interview we had about this a few weeks ago, I thought she'd be an excellent candidate, and most insiders were hearing that the party and the chairman were centering on her as the candidate. I think she's got a lot of positives for the Republican Party. I watched her video this morning that she sent out. She sent out an email with a YouTube video. I thought it was kind of interesting as a sign of the times. I've been following county executive races since 1971 when Ned Reagan ran for the seat against Frank Sedita. I remember that because that was the first election that 18-year-olds could vote, and that was my first election. I remember since then, I think every single campaign for county executive in both parties has been kicked off pretty much the same way. You have a campaign rally, 300 or 400 people attend, and the rest of the public sees it on one of the media outlets, television, radio, newspaper. This one was different. This was launched with a YouTube video and an email. So kind of a sign of the times that this is a different political environment in the way people campaign, and they have a much, much broader way now of appealing and reaching people than historically they've had. So that makes puts an unknown into the campaign because it's been shown that people can win races based on skillful and effective use of social media.
Right. And now we talked to her about party labels. She's anti-party label. She's an independent, a member of the Independence Party. No plans to switch to be a Republican. How do you see that? Is that a plus for her?
Yeah, I think it's a plus. In fact, that was the other item that I noticed in her YouTube video, stressing that she's an independent. She's run on the Republican line in her county legislative district. She's caucused with the Republicans in the legislature, but she's always maintained that independent label. And I think that's a plus today. I think lots of people are disgusted with politics as we know it on both sides. And she presents a fresh face and somebody who's coming at this a little differently, that she's going to be concerned about issues and people and not about party labels. And she's going to campaign that way. And it's a very effective video. And again, you see her skills that she acquired from years on television news when you watch this video. She's very good at communicating electronically.
To that point, and to something else you mentioned before on social media, one of the things in that email message to supporters that she sent out was mentioning the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, his use of social media, that he's on Twitter, kind of bashing people on the other side all the time. She said that. And then when she was on with us, we asked her maybe what was one thing that you agreed with the county executive on, something you hope to build upon. She mentioned the opioid crisis, the handling of that. How important is it going to be to strike that balance of maybe if you don't want to spend the entire time attacking your opponent, to maybe even find something that you say, you know what, this has been done well, we can do even better?
Well, I think that's a very effective tactic for a challenger to take because, again, people are kind of sick of the hacking and chopping and personal destruction of politics that they've seen. And to have someone come in and say, yeah, I agree with him or her on this issue, they did a good job in that, but here's where they fell short. The other thing that jumped out at me in the email that accompanied her YouTube video was the mention of the Tesla project and how that has failed to reach its employment goals, and that company itself may be on very thin ice in terms of financial survival. It'd be interesting to see if she can develop that issue. I talked in the last interview about how a successful challenger can sometimes manufacture an issue and make it number one in the public's mind when you and I today don't see it. That's very interesting to watch. If she can somehow connect that state project with the local county executive race, and run with it. That jumped out at me, and I'm going to be watching that to see if she can do that.
Carl, money in this campaign between Lynn Dixon and Mark Poloncarz. She's an underdog in that category. How important is that?
It's very important because, as I said, at the county legislative district level, it's retail politics. You can spend every day going door to door. You can go to the church events, the VFW events, and meet lots of people. Can't do that in a county the size of Erie County, almost a million people. You've got to go on air. You've got to be on radio. You've got to be in the mailbox. You've got to be on television. That takes money. And she admitted that it's the truth in politics. 99.9% of candidates for any office hate raising money. It's very, very difficult to get on the phone and ask friends and family for money. She admitted that, and that's going to be critical. She's going to have to raise money. The party's going to have to raise money in order to put a credible challenge on in this race.
We have political analyst and strategist Carl Calabrese with us this morning. We've been talking about the Lynn Dixon entry into the county executive's race, but want to move over to what's happening on the world stage, Carl, and that's the Trump-Kim summit. What are you watching for as this is playing out?
I had to laugh a little bit yesterday. It wasn't that long ago, 12, 14, 15 months ago, when the mainstream media was wringing its hands over Donald Trump, the warmonger. Remember those days of my nuclear button is bigger than yours and mine works, that Donald Trump was going to get us involved in a Holocaust with the North Koreans. Now they're wringing their hands over Donald Trump, the great appeaser. He's going to sell out his country just to get a deal. It's kind of laughable, but there's a number of things. Let's go back to the first summit. They ended that with four goals, okay? And those were, number one, transforming the relationship between the two countries. I think we're in that process now. You can certainly point to that. Number two, establishing what was called a permanent peace regime on the peninsula. That's a work in progress. Number three, denuclearizing the peninsula. That's a work in progress. And number four was the return of killed in action and missing in action remains from the Korean War to America. And made major progress on that. So now we get down to how do you establish this new relationship and establish a peace regime on the peninsula. What I'm going to be watching for in this summit, if Donald Trump can come out with one or more of the following items, it will be a very, very successful summit. And those would be, a deal that freezes nuclear arms development in North Korea, a deal that would include some type of way international inspection to do an inventory of what their nuclear assets are, maybe the shutdown of their nuclear processing facility. All of those things would be major steps forward in this process to establish a new relationship and establish it with a peace regime on the peninsula. Without those, I think it's going to be mostly window dressing. But if you get one or more of those verifiable components in this step of the process, I think that would be a very successful summit for the president.
There was a lot of oohs and ahs, and, I can't believe what I'm seeing the first time the two met, and, they're on stage together. You have the two flags hanging together. Maybe less so of that now that we've seen it all before. Does that help things at all?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like the second moon landing. It's still interesting, but the pizzazz of the first one has passed. Now it's results time. The first was optics, and important, let's not downplay it, the fact that the two of them met and shook hands and talked after the 50, 60-year relationship at each other's throats and all the talk about nuclear exchanges, that was a huge step forward. But now the devil's in the details. Now you've got to move this process forward, and this will tell us if the North Koreans are really serious about meeting the goals of that first summit.
Hey, Carl, now what about in this country, in Washington? How explosive a day could it be with Michael Cohen testifying on Capitol Hill?
The idea that the Democrats would have this hearing when the president is overseas negotiating a very, very important deal is, to me, despicable. It really is. They should have waited out of respect. And in the past, that would have been the rule. Obviously, that doesn't apply anymore. But, I've read about what Cohen is going to say. He's going to accuse the president of being a racist. Well, you know what? I can turn on MSNBC and CNN any day, any hour, and hear somebody on the left making the same accusation. He's going to say that he has no direct evidence of collusion. Big surprise there. So I think there's going to be a lot of smoke and very little fire. The media will love it. The mainstream media will cover this breathlessly. And at the end of the day, remember, this is a man who's been convicted of lying to Congress and now Congress brings him back to testify? Does anybody else other than me find that laughable?
Hey, you know, Carl, I'm wondering, just the name Michael Cohen, when you see that on, besides the people who are, you know, feverently and just work themselves up into a fervor following every single development that goes on with the Russia investigation and Mueller and, you know, what's going on in the White House today. I think now, is Mueller one, or excuse me, Cohen one of those names that you see on TV and for most people you just think, you know, whatever?
Well, I don't think there's no there, okay? I mean, the man is a convicted felon. He's going to jail. As somebody said the other day, that, you know, the fact of the matter is his cooperation agreement with Mueller is done. That means that Mueller has gotten everything out of him he's going to get. If that was not the case, if he still had some bombshells, that cooperation agreement would still be active, and he would not be testifying in front of Congress. So I think it's all show and very little dough at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't really have an incentive to have to tell the truth. Carl, we appreciate the insight, as always, on Lynn Dixon. Carl Calabrese joining us, our political strategist this morning. If you missed any part of this, it'll be up at WBEN.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.